welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm here to have, pleased to have here as my, back as my guest, Ken Rola. Today we're going to be talking about the principles of how energy medicine, and specifically pyramid energy, works to heal people. Ken's been on the show before multiple times. His shows can be found in the archives at www.plasticos.com on a wide range of topics. And we talked about the pyramids in Bosnia in one show, and we didn't get into the healing energy as much, so hence this show. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks, Susan.
Well, would you like to give the listening audience a little bit of background about the pyramids in Bosnia and how you came to research the effects of energy inside the pyramids?
Yeah, I've been manufacturing energy devices for probably 12 years or so. There's subtle energy devices that put out fields that can accelerate healing or improve sleep, protect against electromagnetic radiation, improve plant growth, and believe it or not, even clear chemtrails and nuclear fallout and other pollution out of the atmosphere for a 75-mile radius. So I've had this experience. My background is in electrical engineering, but I also have been teaching natural healing for about 25 years. So I'm familiar with these energies and how to use them for specific applications. And so I became aware of the Bosnian pyramid discovery probably four or five years ago. And a man named Dr. Samir Osmanagic, who is an archaeologist in Bosnia, discovered these pyramids there that are so large they appear to be mountains, and everybody thought they were mountains because they were covered with trees and grass. And he recognized that they appeared to be constructed pyramids, and so he started excavating them and discovered, in fact, they were. And that was in 2006, and so at this point they've excavated not only significant amounts of the external parts of the pyramids, but also these tunnels that go inside of the pyramids. And what they discovered when they opened it up for tourism, people would go in there very often with major diseases and spend some time in there and come out either better or completely healed. And amazingly so, you know, they've had, they had a lady from Serbia who went in last summer. She had stage 4 cancer, and she was given 30 days to live by her oncologist, and they just told her to go home and get her affairs in order. And so she went into the pyramids and meditated 2 hours a day inside these tunnels and for 12 days. And then after 12 days, she went back to Serbia and went to her oncologist. She had no trace of cancer or any of the damage from the chemo and radiation that she had been through. And that's just one example of many that they've had, all these amazing healings of people going in there, you know, everything from Parkinson's disease to blindness and just all kinds of stuff. And so Samir Osmanagic became familiar with my work through his PR person, and I was already familiar with his work. And so we met, and he invited me to come to see the Bosnian pyramids, which I did last year. And when I started surveying the pyramids and all these different structures, it's this whole complex of pyramids and other structures. They've got these cone-shaped mountains, and then they've got these perfectly round spherical stone balls that are like 10, 15 feet in diameter sitting around, and different kinds of monoliths and things. And they've excavated a lot of stuff inside these things now where they've found constructed monoliths and writing and runes, and runes being little tablets or stone artifacts with writing in them, and just a lot of evidence that these things are obviously not natural mountains. And Samir has also done a lot of science, hard science on these things, to show that these are not just mountains, that these are energy devices. And so he, initially last year when I went there, I started looking at these pyramids and how they were constructed and started explaining the physics to him, and nobody had told him that before. And so he started to realize that that I had some knowledge that might be useful to him. And so this year he invited me back a few weeks ago to come and speak to the public there about pyramid healing energy, and also to a private group of scientists and engineers who were studying the pyramids to get hard scientific data on them to show what was going on. And so I did a presentation about the physics of how they work, and that's this is what, you know, we can talk about today, is how these things really work and how they do what they do. So would you like me to get into some of the details of how this stuff works and how we can use them for ourselves?
Sure. First, though, give us an idea of how large these pyramids are.
Okay. They're so big. People thought they were mountains. There's a complex of several pyramids and a large cone. You know, these are like mountain size. But the largest one, they call the Pyramid of the Sun, the base of it would cover an entire small town. It's right next to a town called Visoko in Bosnia. And the pyramid would pretty much cover the whole town if it were lifted up and put over the town. So they're very large. I mean, they're the size of mountains.
Do they have any idea how old they are?
Well, they carbon dated artifacts inside the pyramids that they found to about 38,000 years, which is part of the reason why they're facing stiff opposition from mainstream archaeology and science, because what they're discovering, which changed the whole narrative about human history, and because, you know, all of this flies in the face of what we've been told by mainstream science and archaeology about the timeline of human history, and also the fact that these pyramids may not have been built by humans. They may have been built by another race or some very ancient humans. You know, our history may have been very different. Maybe human, maybe not. But there's clear evidence that these things were created, because aside from the structures themselves, which you can see, for example, some of the pyramids and the tumulus have these sidewalks going around them that are like 15, 20 feet wide, and they're made out of these paver stones that are about 18 inches thick, and it's concrete. It's actually poured concrete, and it wraps around these pyramids and the tumulus at very specific angles of degrees going up, and very specific angles angled upward and inward toward the pyramids. And they act as waveguides when you look at them energetically. Now, what's interesting, too, is that a lot of the measurements of these pyramids correspond precisely to the same measurements on other pyramids in other parts of the world. But where mainstream science has a problem with these, as opposed to other ones, most of the other pyramids in the world that we're familiar with and that mainstream science recognizes are made out of these large monolithic stones. But the Bosnian pyramids are not constructed that way. They're made really kind of like giant pieces of organite, or organite being a material that you can make where you basically put some crystals and mineral particles and metal particles into a non-conducting resin like fiberglass or epoxy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you can create these little structures that will put out this energy as well, this what scientists are calling skater waves. And so the Bosnian pyramids are constructed like that. Somebody took a mountain. There was a very large mountain composed of clay nearby, and they dug the thing out and took the clay and combined it with millions of tons of river rock. I mean, they mined huge amounts of river rock from a large area around there. And so these pyramids are constructed in these layers of clay and river rock, with the clay surrounding the river rock. And if you know anything about creating skater waves and scalar energy, which is what this pyramid energy is, we can talk more about that. But this subtle energy that they're putting out, the way that you create that with organite is exactly how these pyramids were built. Clay is very high in monoatomic elements that will put out these scalar fields. And then the stones, the river rocks themselves, are constructed of the stone, the crystalline structure puts out scalar waves. And when you combine them in this structure where you've got layers of clay and these river rocks, and it's all embedded in this clay, that alone creates this subtle energy But then also, too, the sheer weight of these things compressing down all that increases the amount of energy that it outputs. And so they've done a lot of measurements of this, of different types of energy coming off of these things, scalar fields, infrared, sound energy, electrical energy, electric charge, ionization of the atmosphere, all kinds of stuff. And they also have used special cameras that can basically take an aura photo of a large area, like a landscape. And when they photograph these pyramids and structures with these cameras, what they see are these fields going straight up, or these spirals of energy going straight up from these structures, whereas any of the regular mountains around there, when they film it with these cameras, you just see a regular horizontal field like, you know, the Earth would put out. So they're collecting increasing evidence showing that these things are energy devices. They're constructed machines. When you're standing on the Pyramid of the Sun, the largest pyramid in this complex, you can see across this valley this mountain of clay that's half gone, and the clay is exposed that was used to build this pyramid. And then there's a river that runs through the complex of pyramids as well. It's very, very crucial to the energetic structure of the complex as well, because water can be a carrier of this energy, and it can enhance and increase the energy function of these systems. And in fact, inside the pyramids, this is another interesting thing, they've found inside these pyramids that there's a constant supply of very ancient primordial water that is not, its level never fluctuates, even if there's heavy rains or drought outside. And the springs are flowing or they're not flowing, the water levels inside these pyramids never change, and it always is flowing. And they found deep, what's really interesting, deep inside these pyramids, this water that's inside them is completely drinkable. It's completely pure. It has no bacteria, no viruses, no toxins in it. It's extremely healing. It's a highly structured water. And this is part of the way that people are getting the healing. They go inside these pyramids and they drink the water. And then also the air. They've got miles of tunnels now excavated inside these pyramids. And you can go down, you know, a quarter, half mile down inside of this pyramid, and the air is completely fresh. And in fact, the oxygen levels are extremely high, around 23-24%, which is extremely high. Very, very pure air, which should not be the case if you were inside of a regular mountain. You know, when you go down into caves, you get dank, musty, moist air, but inside these, it's like, it feels almost like a breeze is blowing through, where the air is just incredibly fresh. And so it's highly ionized, it's very healing. It's just very, very fascinating. This, and then one of the things that I was presenting on to these scientists is the concept of these tunnels acting possibly as what's called a Kozarev mirror. There was a Russian physicist named Nikolai Kozarev who discovered that he could build these aluminum tubes about 3 feet in diameter and put a person inside of one, and the tube would reflect the person's energy back to them, and it would also concentrate this energy that's all around us that scientists are calling scalar waves or scalar fields. It's really this energy that's kind of embedded throughout the cosmos. It's all around us, and it's really what our whole physical multiverse is made of. This energy is superluminal light. It comes from the centers of galaxies, and it spirals and it branches as it goes, and it's flowing through everything, kind of like the Force in Star Wars. And when it slows down, it's going millions of times faster than the conventional speed of light. And when it slows down, it turns into the electromagnetic spectrum of energy that we're familiar with, and it also converts into matter as well. And so when this energy is around us, Kozarev discovered when you put this aluminum tube around a person, it will concentrate this energy and frequencies that are healing, and people will get healed of major diseases like cancer and stuff just from sitting inside of these tubes for a few hours. And so it appears that that may be part of the phenomenon that's going on inside these pyramid tunnels, is that number one, they're emanating a lot of this energy in natural frequencies from the stones that they're composed of and the clay. and the Earth itself, and also the Sun, because pyramids are basically antennas that capture energy coming from the Sun and from the Earth, and they concentrate it in a local area. So there's that going on. But I think also what's going on is that these tunnels are acting like Kozarev mirrors and directing this energy and concentrating it inside the tunnels. And that energy, because it's what matter is composed of, it can create or alter matter. And so within the body, the human body, actually all living organisms do this all the time, cells and tissue and the atomic structure of the body is all constantly being recreated moment by moment by this energy. And so this is how the body is able to heal and regenerate cells, is by utilizing this energy to create new structures and cells in the body. So if you're immersed in a field of the right frequencies, it just accelerates the body's natural healing mechanism and allows it to convert this energy into matter much more quickly. So this is what's going on in these pyramids. And, you know, they've discovered that these things generate electricity and all sorts of energy. They're healing, and they can structure water and purify water, purify the air. And also for a large area around there, they'll purify the air. And so what we were, this group of engineers and scientists were tasked with, was studying and analyzing this. We were taking measurements around these different structures and analyzing the data to figure out how we can teach other people around the world to create and utilize this energy for these purposes as well. And so that's what I'm focusing on.
So have you tried the aluminum tubes?
What's that?
Have you tried working with the aluminum tubes?
No, I have not tried working with Kozarev tubes or Kozarev mirrors. But I use other types of energy devices that are at least effective, if not more. You know, I've been teaching this for many years. One of the devices I like to use are what are called quantum biofeedback machines, like the QXCI SCIO or the Indigo or the Inductor. Mm-hmm. Or the life system. And these are very sophisticated scalar wave devices that can measure the energetic signature of the body and see what's going on in the body. And then they can send energy back in to heal or accelerate healing. And they have some amazing capabilities, because they're being scalar wave devices and being able to alter matter. They can do things like neutralize radioactivity in the body or really accelerate healing of certain things. So I utilize technologies like that, and then, of course, I make my own technologies, and I also teach people how to do it naturally with using food and minerals and things, because the body itself is like a pyramid. It is a scalar wave antenna, and it picks up this energy coming from the Sun and from the Earth just like a pyramid does, and it rebroadcasts it in the local field. And so you can enhance the body's ability to do that by raising the superconductivity in the body. And the way that you do that is by ingesting food that's high in monoatomic minerals, or also known as ormus minerals. And these are just minerals that are found in soil and in water and in plants and in animals. Mm-hmm. That normally, you know, when you have a mineral, the particles of the minerals, even when they're broken down into small particles, they're usually thousands of particles or thousands of atoms in one particle of the mineral. Like when they're found, for example, in the ground, you know. And so in order for human beings or any living organism to utilize them, they've got to be broken down into very small particles of just a few atoms or individual atoms in order for that organism to utilize them. So for example, plants, you know, they don't suck boulders up through their roots. They have to, what they do is secrete acids and chemicals that will attract bacteria that will break down the minerals in the soil into particles of just a few atoms each, or individual atoms known as monoatomic elements or ormus elements. And so when we're eating food, whether it's plant or animal, we're getting these kinds of minerals, these monoatomic minerals and the angstrom minerals, as they're called, just a few particles. And that raises the superconductivity in the body. So if you understand that, you can feed things to plants and animals to increase these levels of monoatomics. And then when you eat them, it plugs into your body and raises the superconductivity, and that radically accelerates your ability to heal and stay healthy and enhance your consciousness, because it plugs into the brain, it plugs into the DNA, it heals DNA. It does all kinds of amazing things.
So are there additives that you can use?
I can just barely hear you.
Like if you're growing your own plants? Like if you're growing your own plants? Oh, you can't hear me? I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
No, I can't hear you.
No? Okay. Well, we'll have to
I don't know what's going on, but I can, let me go into a little bit more.
Okay.
About how this works and what people can do with this, because this is all fine and dandy, but what do you really do at your home, you know?
Okay.
So these monoatomics, as I mentioned, they come from microbes eating minerals in the soil, breaking them down into these particles. They're created in the ocean, and basically bacterial action in soil and in water will make them. Vortexing water and magnetic fields will create them. Photosynthesis will create them. And fermentation will create them. And so what I teach people to do is do all of these things to get these monoatomics in natural forms. So, so for example, you can, when you're growing food, or if you've got somebody growing food and you have control over it, you can use volcanic rock powders on the soil and combine that with microbes, beneficial microbes, soil-based microbes. And the microbes will eat these volcanic rock powders, which are high in these monoatomics, but they're not very bioavailable until they're broken down by the bacteria. So basically, you can put these rock powders down in your garden or anything that you're growing with and then feed the microbes to it, and the microbes will break it down and deliver it to the plants. And then when you eat that, you get it into your body, and it plugs into the DNA and the brain neural pathways and the nervous system, because it turns out that throughout the body, throughout the brain and the neural pathways, you've got these junctures of these monoatomic minerals, and they create superconductivity, and they also create little black holes, which are like these interdimensional portals. And it does the same thing all along the nervous system and the spine. You've got these deposits of these monoatomic minerals along the spine that correlate to the chakras. So you've got these seven large nodules along the spine of these minerals, which creates superconductivity, and also creates these little black holes or interdimensional portals that have this energy flowing through them, and the energy flows in vortexes. And then all along the nervous system, you've got these deposits of these minerals that correspond to the acupuncture meridians. And so when you hear, you know, in traditional Chinese medicine or in Ayurveda, they talk about the flow of the qi through the acupuncture meridians, or in Ayurveda, the flow of prana through the nadis. This is what you're talking about. You're talking about deposits of these minerals all along the nervous system that create these little black holes or these little portals of this scalar energy that's flowing through everything, and so it flows in and out of the body, and it creates and alters the physical structures of the body. And so the more that you get of these monoatomic minerals into you, the faster and easier it is for your body to heal. And it also expands consciousness, because the more superconductivity you have in the brain, the better your brain works, then the more empathic you become, the more intelligent you become. And then also the DNA is loaded up with these monoatomic elements. And so when you get more of them into the body and it raises the superconductivity of the DNA is actually a superconducting antenna that is the interface between consciousness and the physical structures of the body. We've been taught that the DNA is the genetic blueprint, but it's actually the carrier of the genetic blueprint. It's actually the antenna where the energetic blueprint, which is in the consciousness of the organism itself, that's where the real pattern, the genetic pattern is. It's in the consciousness of the organism, and it's conveyed into the physical structures of the body through the DNA. And because the DNA is loaded up with these superconducting elements, that acts as the interface between consciousness and the physical body. And this is how you're able to heal DNA damage and other damage from the body. I've helped many people, including myself, heal DNA damage. I've had radiation poisoning 3 times and was able to heal it utilizing these monoatomics and scalar energy. So these things are very, very important for our health. And by utilizing pyramids and pyramid energy and these types of technologies, we can maintain our health even amidst a world of genetically modified food and radioactivity, you know, nuclear fallout coming down on us from Fukushima or Chernobyl or whatever, geoengineering pollutants, all these nasty things that humans keep coming up with. We've got the tools to deal with them very simply, and pyramids are a fantastic way of helping with all of that.
Are you able to hear me now?
I still can't hear you. I don't know what's going on.
Still can't. Okay.
Can you
give your contact information? I'm still here.
I don't know if you can hear me, but I can just barely hear your voice. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay. Well, keep going then.
I can't hear you, so I'll continue on.
Okay.
So, you know, people tend to think with these concepts that you've got to have some sophisticated technologies or expensive stuff, and you really don't. You can, for example, you don't have to build, you know, a 200-foot pyramid in your backyard to get access to these functions. One of the things I'm going to be doing next year is bringing Russian pyramid scientist Valery Uvarov, who is he's built pyramids all over the world, and he's had a lot of experience with it and seen what you can do with them. And he's done things like build small pyramids that have improved production of water wells or oil wells, enhanced healing. Right now he's got a large complex of pyramids that he's building in Siberia that he's going to develop into a community, like a little town. It's really, really cool. And they've noticed since they put in these 4 pyramids in a large area of about, oh, several hundred acres, maybe a few thousand acres. And right now what they've got are 4 pyramids in a square and then a large pyramid in the middle of that. Large pyramid being maybe 50 feet high, and the smaller pyramids being about maybe 20, 30 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found in once they put these pyramids up, that the weather improved in Siberia where they're at for hundreds of kilometers around. The winters are not as harsh and the summers are not as hot. You know, Valery and Russian pyramid scientist Alexander Golod also. Golod built some very large pyramids. He built one outside of Moscow, 144 feet high. And he had a large military budget because he was working for the military. And he was able to do a lot of hard science and use some very sophisticated technology that the Russian military had to determine what was going on with the pyramids. And they discovered this pyramid that was made out of fiberglass and wood, that it would neutralize radioactivity in the atmosphere for hundreds of kilometers around. It would stop earthquakes. It would neutralize radioactivity and poisons and toxins and pollution in groundwater. It would bring all kinds of springs up to the surface because you know, as I mentioned, these bacteria in soil, they break down minerals into these monoatomic elements. And monoatomic elements are anti-gravitational, so they want to levitate up and away from the Earth. And so the soil keeps them, you know, held down into the ground. And they accumulate, and they get washed by rain down into aquifers until eventually they accumulate enough in these aquifers that they levitate up to the surface. And that's how spring water usually comes up to the surface. And so what Golod discovered with his pyramid is that there are all these springs were popping up for 100 miles around, that they didn't understand why. It's because these pyramids, the energy that they bring in, pulls up on these ormus elements more strongly and makes this water levitate up the surface more strongly. So there's an application right there that you can do with a pyramid. You don't have to have a gigantic pyramid. You can build a 10-foot tall, maybe 15-foot tall pyramid out of wood and plastic or fiberglass. Any non-conducting material will work, and you can do this in your backyard. I've met people out in Arizona who did this, and they had a little dribble of a spring on a dry property, and they built a pyramid on it and increased the production of the spring to where they could build a house. So there are very practical applications for this stuff. And, of course, healing. You can build a pyramid and go inside of it and accelerate healing. You can meditate inside of it and enhance your meditation practices and the information and knowledge that you get in meditation. It also, I've discovered that it improves the weather, as Golod did. I use a different type of device that creates the same kind of energy. And here in Florida, we put them out, and we discovered that it will actually stop hurricanes for a large area, like a 75-mile radius. So there's some very, very useful practical applications for this stuff. Neutralizing radioactivity is another one the Russians discovered. They also, and very interestingly, too, the Russians discovered that radioactivity is actually a function of the sun, believe it or not. The atomic structure of radioactive elements apparently, they act like an antenna for the scalar energy coming down from the sun. And the sun is actually what makes these elements radioactive. Because the Russians discovered they put radioactive elements down in very deep wells, like 20,000 foot deep wells, and discovered that after a few hours, the elements became non-radioactive. And then when they brought them back up to the surface, they remained non-radioactive for several days. And so what they realized was that shielding these minerals from the sun made them non-radioactive. So these radioactive elements, their atomic structure actually acts like a scalar wave antenna that converts the scalar waves coming from the sun into radioactivity, into this very damaging negative energy. And so that tells us a lot about how we can neutralize radioactivity. And in fact, there's at least 61 patents worldwide for methods for neutralizing radioactivity, which anybody that's interested, if you want to see those, if you go to my website at resources.freshandalive.com, you can see the 61 patents. I've got them listed there for methods for neutralizing radioactivity. So we already have that technology. But pyramids are a way that you could do it yourself, among other things. So there's a lot of very fascinating things that can be done with these things. So let's see if I can hear your voice.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, yeah. They fixed it at the station. Sorry about that. So let's talk a little bit about some of the energy devices that you have developed and how they use scalar energy.
Okay. Well, first of all, as I mentioned, this energy comes from the centers of galaxies. You know, where it originally comes from, who knows, but this, in mainstream science, this type of energy is not really recognized yet. The scientists in the mainstream will call it dark energy or dark matter, or sometimes mm-hmm. they'll call them solar winds and different things, because they've really been kept in the dark about this stuff. But the militaries around the world, especially the United States, Russia, Japan, China, they know all about it, and they're the ones using this term scalar waves or scalar energy, which is why I use that term. But this energy throughout history has gone by different names, chi, prana, orgone, tachyon energy, life force, et cetera, et cetera. But what it really is, I think, is God consciousness. It's this intelligent energy that's light. It's photonic energy. It's light. It's traveling millions of times faster than what we've been told the speed of light is. And it comes from the centers of galaxies. And as it flows, it spirals and it branches as it goes. So it's spiraling and it's fractaling as it goes. And it's relayed throughout the cosmos through the suns and the planets, because it's been discovered by people like Nassim Harriman and others that suns and planets have at their centers these singularities or black holes at their centers, and they act as like these portals that relay this energy. So this energy is coming out from the center of the galaxy, and it's relayed from sun to sun to sun and planets to planets outward throughout the cosmos. And so when it comes to us, it's coming down from the sun to us, and it's coming out from the center of the earth. So we can build these devices like pyramids or other types of structures that will act like an antenna and pick that energy up and then rebroadcast it just like an antenna. So I was, years ago, I was studying a lot of different people's work that utilize this energy, Nikola Tesla and Kozyrev and George Lakovsky and a whole slew of people, Dr. Konstantin Meil, M-E-Y-L, he's probably one of the top scalar physicists in the world, Dr. Thomas Bearden here in the United States, and on, a whole bunch of them. And I started to kind of correlate what all these different people were talking about. And I was studying Tesla's, Tesla developed this technology he called a personal oscillator, and it was basically a little small personal scalar wave generator that could be used for healing and beneficial purposes. And so he did it with coils and spinning magnetos and things, basically electromechanically is how he did it. And I looked at that and I thought, well, I wonder if you can do that with a digital circuit. So I experimented and was able to recreate that with the digital circuit. And so I wound up developing my first powered scalar wave device was a device called the Stress Shield, which was a little portable pocket-sized device about the size of a cell phone that you could carry with you that would protect you against EMF. It puts out this scalar field that pulses at this frequency known as the Schumann resonance, and the Schumann resonance is a pulsing in the Earth's atmosphere that de-stresses living organisms. And so this thing would put out the scalar field pulsing the Schumann resonance, and it would protect you against EMF, because when conventional electromagnetic waves from radio, TV, microwaves, whatever, when they would hit this field, the field would structure them and make the waves become parallel and cause less cellular interference in the body. So it would help with EMF, and it also helped with sleep, because the Schumann resonance will slow the brain wave states down and help you get into deep sleep states. Doesn't make you sleepy and it doesn't make you fall asleep, but when you do go to sleep, it will pull you into the deepest brainwave state, so you get good deep sleep. So that was the first device I developed, and then that evolved into another device called the Rest Shield, which is a small pyramid-shaped device that is not portable, really. It's for keeping in your home or your business, and that puts out a larger field, about 20-foot radius, in all directions. And this energy, you know, it passes through matter, so it goes through walls and everything like that. And so that is even stronger for sleep and EMF protection. And we discovered a lot of other kind of side benefits that it had. It will enhance plant growth, for example. We've done experiments where we've seen plants that would grow directly off the energy this thing's putting out, not even need water. Which is pretty mind-blowing.
That is.
And also it enhances microbial growth, so but not pathogenic microbial growth, only probiotic beneficial microbes. So using it with fermentation, we discovered you get higher yields because it de-stresses the microbes, and then they are able to produce more and ferment faster. We've actually got people in Canada who were growing cannabis, and they were familiar with my work and some other people's work. So they built these pyramid-shaped greenhouses, and they put my Rest Shield technology in them for enhancing the growth of medical marijuana. And then, in 2011, when the Fukushima nuclear disaster occurred, my first thought, because of my background working with advanced technologies, not just with this stuff, but also back in the 90s, I worked with free energy technologies and was aware of a lot of things about technology and how the world really works. And I knew about some of these technologies being used in the military and the CIA and the NSA and that kind of stuff. And so my first thought when I heard about the Fukushima nuclear disaster was, I wonder if that was an engineered event. So I went online and Googled Fukushima skater weapon, and one of the first things that came up was an interview that Benjamin Fulford did with the Minister of Finance of Japan. And on video, the Minister of Finance said that the United States had indeed used a skater weapon against Japan, not just the Fukushima event, but two other times before that, to blackmail Japan into economic policies against China to keep the Chinese yuan from becoming the world's reserve currency. And the world's reserve currency being the currency that most countries use to do business between each other. Since World War II, the U.S. dollar has been the world's reserve currency, and that enables us to just print money and go out and buy stuff, whereas other countries, they have to have real resources. They have to trade for U.S. dollars to go buy things. And so the rest of the world is getting tired of the United States pushing them around, and so there's a movement on to try and make the Chinese yuan become the world's reserve currency. So here's the Minister of Finance of Japan saying, yes, the United States used these skater weapons against us, and the first two times they caused earthquakes on the west coast of Japan, and Japan wouldn't capitulate. And so finally they did it offshore from Fukushima and caused a tsunami that caused damage at the nuclear reactor, and then Japan relented and did what the United States wanted to. But of course the damage was done. And so
image
here's
this
guy
the world.
Saying this on video. And
yeah.
So I knew, because I had already worked with victims of Chernobyl, I knew that that radiation would be coming to the United States within a few weeks. And sure enough, within mm-hmm. 2-3 weeks, it was over here, hitting the coast of California. Because there was a large plume of huge amounts of radioactivity going into the atmosphere and into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started working on, well, I started to see if anybody had skater wave technology that could neutralize radioactivity, because in the early 90s I had worked with a man named Ewell Brown that developed water fuel technology that could be used to neutralize radioactivity. So I'd seen it done. I'd actually witnessed that done. So I went online and Googled to see if anybody had any skater wave technology that would neutralize radioactivity, and sure enough, there were people out there that did, but they were mostly lay people or people that didn't really understand the physics of what was going on. But I realized very quickly that I was already manufacturing technology that could be applied to that. And so I wound up developing, spent about a year and a half and worked my tail off and hardly slept and hardly ate, and developed this device I called a home shield that is a skater wave generator that you can put outdoors, and it's solar powered, and it'll clear a 75-mile radius of all pollution in the atmosphere, nuclear fallout, geoengineering pollutants, or good old-fashioned air pollution. And it doesn't drop it back down onto the ground. It actually sends it down into space where it neutralizes it. And so what you get is you clear the atmosphere of pollution. And when you clear the atmosphere of pollution, that balances the charge in the atmosphere. And when you do that, then that balances the weather. So you get normal weather for your area. So when we put these things out, for example, in California, where they've had engineered droughts from this geoengineering, the droughts go away. We put them in the deserts of Arizona and New Mexico, the deserts green up and springs start coming up. And here in Florida where I'm at, you know, hurricanes and tornadoes are the earth trying to clean itself and balance itself. When you get this strong charge imbalance in the atmosphere, it creates these winds and things that will come along and clear it and balance it. And of course, we also have, you know, weather engineering going on heavily now on Earth. And for anybody that may doubt that, all you've got to do is go online and Google owning the weather by 2025, and you can pull up an Air Force research paper, 57 pages, explaining in detail how they want to control the weather globally by 2025. They make no bones about it. So this is not conspiracy theories. So anyway, my device, you know, it basically creates this upside down vortex of skater waves. And the point of the tornado is out in space, and it just acts like a big vacuum cleaner. And because it works on frequency, it only pulls pollution out. It doesn't harm the atmosphere in any way. It doesn't throw anything off balance. It actually it balances things by cleaning the pollution out of the atmosphere. So when you do that, hurricanes and strong weather just fall apart when they get near it. So it's protected the parts of Florida where we have these devices. It has protected us from these engineered hurricanes that have been coming our way. Last year we had Hurricane Irma hit the west coast of Florida and do a lot of damage because I don't have any of these devices over there. I've done lectures on the west coast of Florida, and the people over there said, well, we don't need anything like this. We've never been hit by a hurricane in 30 years or whatever. And it's like, that means you're over too. So they found that out last year. But everywhere we put these things, it balances the weather. It enhances plant growth. It reduces pests like mosquitoes and, you know, biting insects. It's very interesting.
So we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. My main website is freshandalive.com. And my blog, where I have most of my educational information, is freshandaliveblog.com. And I also have a YouTube channel. If you just search on Fresh and Alive on YouTube, you'll find my YouTube channel, or I've got links to it on my main website.
And I've been using the rest shields for myself and patients for a while now, and they really are very beneficial. So.
It's amazing some of the stuff that we see. You know, I have an uncle in California who was a bit of a skeptic until his next door neighbor just happened to buy one. And she found out that he was my uncle, and she told him she had a 9-year-old son who had never spoken his whole life. He had some kind of, I don't know, birth defect or something, and he'd never spoken his whole life. And after getting the rest shield, the kids started talking. Because it makes brain waves coherent, and it helps balance the brain waves and slow them down and relax the body and the brain, among other things. So, I'm surrounded by these things, so I only notice it when I get away from them. But it really helps with EMF. It helps with sleep. And like I said, it helps with gardening. So if you're growing, if you're growing crops or anything, like here in Florida, I noticed when I put my first home shield out, we had all these citrus trees that were here before we moved in, and they were all moldy because they had been chemically fed and they were weak. All the mold went away once we put this device out. The plants all got stronger and they started growing much faster, and the mold and stuff went away on them. So there's a lot of really interesting effects from these things.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a wealth of information. I've learned a lot.
My pleasure.
And I've interviewed a lot of people on Scalar Energy.
it's really quite interesting, and it's not as complex as people make it out to be.
Yeah, I think that if people would understand some of the basics of scalar energy, though, they would be able to, you know, get a lot of preventative stuff done for their health, and just getting a rest shield has been a big help for me. So
truly,
it really helped my overall health.
And if you look, this is one of the things that Samir Osmanagas points out, is that there are thousands of pyramids all around the world, and our cultures around the world have been pyramid builders throughout human history and what other history. And we've got to get back to that, because these things have so many different beneficial uses that we need, especially now.
Yeah, I think it would be very beneficial. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Ken. I appreciate you taking the time to share this with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So next week we have Linda Starr Wolf, The Art of Awakening Shamanic Consciousness. So please join us next week. And as I said, Ken's has several, I think maybe three or four of his previous interviews in the archives at www.plasticos.com, and all of them are just packed with really useful information, like today's interview. Please check them out. Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.